change and your help. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to John chapter 16. Praise God. You know, when you go, when I go someplace that I've never been before, and there's neat things to see or, you know, landmarks or different things, I like to be kind of forewarned about those things so I don't miss them. You know, like, you know, up here there's going to be this, or up there's going to be this, and I don't want to, you know, take the chance of missing out. And so I want to forewarn you this morning so you can be looking out for it. But God's going to speak to every single heart here this morning. He's going to speak to every single person on your level. And I don't know everybody personally. I don't know everything you're going through, questions you have, or, you know, things that need to be changed in your life. But God does. Hallelujah. And the way it ought to work in church is the minister ought to hear from heaven. And he ought to come and deliver. I ought to be the mailman this morning. I ought to deliver the mail for your life. And then when I speak something, God ought to, it ought to touch your heart, hit the bullseye of your heart. And so God's the only one that can do that. I can't do that. I wouldn't know how to do that. But, you know, a room full of people and everybody gets something, I don't know how that's possible naturally. It's only supernatural. And so I just want to warn you, but when that happens, and it's almost like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. How did he know? Don't look to man, look to God. And don't miss that. That's a sign unto you that he loves you, that he's real, and that he's got something for you. It might not be very spectacular showing up to South Dayton in a little church like this, but when God speaks to you, it's supernatural. And I wouldn't change it or trade it for anything. So let's pray and ask him for that and believe him this morning. Father, we love you. Lord, I went out on a limb for you, and I know you're going to come through. Father, speak to every single heart here today. Father, they've come out here to hear from you, not from man. Father, not ideas or opinions or philosophies. Lord, it's the Word of God that is incorruptible, Father God, that is perfect and pure, that is going to change their lives. So, Father, speak through me this morning. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, make my tongue that of a pen of a ready writer, Father, speaking words in season, bringing comfort, bringing peace, and bringing hope, Father. And we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory. It's only because of you. We won't hijack or rob any of that praise from you, Father. You are the vine. We're just branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So help us this morning, and we'll be obedient, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, hunting season has been very, kind of been non-existent for me this year. I've been on a little bit, but on Friday night, I was able to rush home and get in my tree stand for the last hour, and I didn't see any deer, wasn't successful, the deer hunting part of it, but God gave me the sermon for today. I mean, clear as day. And, you know, two things happened this past week, one of which you were here for last week, but that God prompted me to share on that will be a great, great blessing to your life. And so we're gonna look at those things today. And this is the kind of message today that if you'll take this to heart and become sensitive to this, what I'm going to share today, you'll walk into things that you could never walk into on your own. God will open doors for you that you'll never be able to open on your own. You'll walk into a land of blessing that you could never make for yourself. But you have a part to play, and today's helping you with that part. And, you know, I want to start with this. I used to go to JCC. This will help you. I used to go to JCC, one of my many stints of college and jobs. I mean, for a two-year period there, I went to five different colleges and had 26 different jobs in 2 years. And that's kind of tell you the kind of guy I used to be. And but when I was at JCC, there was this girl there, and she was completely blind. And she had a guide dog there. And I was always amazed watching those two operate together, the close bond that they had, but just the fact that a dog could do what that dog did for her. I mean, she couldn't see at all. And here we are on campus where there's different, you have to walk from building to building, walk through the halls, there's stairways, there's different things like that, and elevators that she would need to get on. And here this dog would go and navigate through crowds, keep her right on the sidewalk, get her right to her next class. And I was always amazed by that, but really, that's what that dog's supposed to do, right? That's why they call it a guide dog. And what that dog's purpose was to keep her safe, to keep her in blessing, to get her where she needs to go. And, you know, if she wanted to, she could fight against that dog, and the dog could, you know, be pointing her to go straight, and she could refuse and go to the right, or she could refuse and go to the left, or she could stand her ground and not go at all. And that would have hurt her life, wouldn't it? She needed to put trust or faith into that guide. And that dog, that which was a good guide dog, I mean, I'd sit there in just amazement and watch her go after class when the hallways would be filled. And that dog would just, she'd never bump into things, and that dog would take her exactly where she needed to go. And it was just like, it was an amazing thing to watch. But thank God as Christians, we have a guide. We have a guide, we do. In John 16 and verse 13, I want to show you that. John 16 and verse 13. And your guide is meant to do the same thing. Steer you to the right places. Get you safe there. Steer you into blessing. Steer you into prosperity. Steer you into wonderful things. But here's the thing you have to learn. You have to cooperate with the guide. You can't pull on the leash of the guide. You got to let the guide take you where it wants to go. And you got to trust that. Because there's certain times, I can just imagine someone in her position coming up to cross the street or something on a busy intersection and putting faith that that dog is saying it's okay to go. But she puts faith in that dog, and the dog gets her to the other side safely. She could do it herself, but she might get in trouble. She might get hurt, and people are the same way. You can do it yourself, and it'll get you into trouble. And see, sometimes God will lead you in certain ways, which I'm going to show you, that will boggle the mind. I mean, here you can just imagine, maybe not so much this girl, but I'm sure there are blind people in New York City that have guide dogs, and I'm talking tons of traffic. Thousands of people and cars and taxis and all this noise around. I can imagine in their mind, it would just be just chaos. And the dog saying go. And you can just imagine all the floods of fear and doubt and worry that could come in. But the trust they have in that dog gets them to where they need to go. Same with God. He'll lead you to certain things for the purpose. And I'm going to show you this to get you into a good place. But it can baffle and boggle the mind. And if you don't have faith in Him, you're going to try to do it your own way. And your ways are not God's ways. The Bible says your ways are not as high as His ways. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. In fact, we need to lose our minds. Really, we do. We need to lose our minds and be led by Him. Amen? John 16 and verse 13 says this. Jesus said, "How be it when He, the Spirit of truth." Who's He talking about here? The Holy Ghost. The Bible says there's three that bear witness, and they're all equal. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Different persons, so to speak, but sharing the same qualities. The Holy Ghost isn't lesser than God. Jesus isn't more than the Holy Ghost. They are three in one, equal together. And it says the Spirit, when He comes, will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Now notice this, and He will show you things to come. So the Bible says you have a guide. It's like somebody that goes on a trip out west. You know, I could spend years going to a place out west, public land, to go elk hunting in Colorado. And I could have a tough time with thousands and thousands of acres trying to find good places where the elk are, where there's not as many hunters, where what the terrain is, the boundaries. And I could take all that time, or I can hire a guide who's done all that for me. He already knows where the elk are. He already knows the best places. He already knows the property boundaries. He knows where to stay out. And I just go there and show up, and He says, go there and hunt there, and you'll find elk. A guide me to keep me safe, to keep me out of danger, to keep me in blessing. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost is a guide. Guiding you what? Now remember, if He's God, we know He's only guiding you into good things. Yeah. And He said He'll show you things to come. I love what Reverend Greer said. He said the church ought to be the most intelligent people group on the face of planet Earth. Why? We ought to know everything that's going to happen in our life before it happens. Now a lot of people are caught off guard and it's a surprise party every day because you're not being led. You're not being led. The Holy Ghost's job is to show you things to come. What's He trying to do? Predict your future. Tell you what to do. How good would it be if you knew your future? You know what things to do, what things not to do, what business deals to make, what business deals not to make, who to be with, who not to be with, what job to take, what not job to take. You have it all here. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. You have an opportunity in every area of life to never go wrong. If you acknowledge Him. See, you have a part to play. God's a gentleman. He doesn't force anything on you. But the Bible says you have a guide. Now, here's what you have to understand what the Holy Ghost is trying. Now, we're going to talk about a specific responsibility or job description of the Holy Ghost today. But God is only trying to lead you into better. Now, religion will tell you, well, you know, God's trying to teach you a lesson with sickness. That's a lie. God's trying to teach you a lesson with poverty. That's a lie. Yeah. Do you want to teach your kids a lesson with sickness? No. We'd call you a child abuser. God is not a child abuser. You're going to make your kids poor and struggle to teach them a lesson? No, we're going to call you a child abuser and throw you in jail. Right? God's a good dad. He wants to lead you into good things. Now look at Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10 and verse 22. So we have this guide in this crazy, chaotic world with the lights and the sounds and the cars and of life and the stress and the worries and the fears. We have a guide. Praise God. Praise God. Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says this. The blessing of the Lord. Or you could say it this way. Doing it His way makes you what? Rich. And adds no sorrow with it. See, God's design with the Holy Ghost is to lead you into things that are going to cause richness. Now, that does include financial richness. But how many of you know being rich in life just isn't about money? Blessing for your family, protection for your family, health in your body. You can be rich physically. You can be rich financially. You can be rich in your mind. Your children can live a rich life. Praise God. He wants to lead you in all areas. When the Bible says call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved in Romans 10:13, that word saved in the Greek, which the Bible is originally written in the New Testament, is the word sozo. S-O-Z-O. And it doesn't just mean a salvation from your sins. It's a complete salvation, that includes physical, includes financial, and includes a mental saving. Jesus wants to save every area of your life. What area are you struggling in? God wants that fixed. Is it financially? God wants that fixed. Is it with your children? God wants that fixed. See, redemption was a complete work. He didn't die on the cross for you to struggle in life. He didn't die on the cross for you to be His child and be poor. He didn't die on the cross for you to be His child and walk around in sickness and in fear and depression. He died on the cross to make you the most victorious species that the world has ever seen. The redeemed Christian. The redeemed Christian ought to dominate in life. Why? We have a guide showing us. We don't need to stumble. You know why people stumble? You stumble when the lights are off. Oh man, I face planted into the wall. In our new house. I thought I knew where the turn was to go in the hallway at nighttime. I came down, I was like, I'm not turning that light up. Bam! That's what Christians are doing. Why? Stumbling around. Why? They're not being led. They're not being guided. They're doing things their own way. And they're struggling and stumbling. Don't do that. I mean, sometimes things that we go through. Now, there is such a thing as attacks from the devil that just for doing things right. But there's also self-inflicted things that we never had to go through, that we never had to experience had we just listened. I mean, I could name off thing after thing that God tried to keep me from, and I did it my own way, and I went right through the warning. I went right through the stop sign. I went right through the red light. You go through red lights enough in your life, and you will end up in the hospital or maybe dead. You go through stop signs enough in your life, it will catch up to you. That's what Christians do all the time. The Holy Ghost is giving them green lights to go, and they're not going. The Holy Ghost has given them red lights to stop and they're going. He's given them a yellow light to slow down. We say to Caleb, what does yellow mean? It doesn't mean step on it. It means slow down and be careful is what he'll tell us. Yeah. Yellow light does not mean go as fast as you can through it. That's good. I'm guilty of that at times, but praise the Lord. The blessing of the Lord or the leading or the guiding of God makes you rich. It's to your benefit to hear from heaven in every area of your life. I'm amazed at people that struggle over and over again in a certain area. You know, when the disciples, they came to a person, they couldn't cast the devil out of them. And you know what they did? They didn't sit there all day and say, man, I wonder why we're struggling here. Kick themselves and try to figure it out. You know what they did? They asked. Lord, why can't we do this? It's amazing to me people don't ask Him. It's so simple. Lord, why isn't it working out? He'll show you. He'll tell you how to make adjustments to change things. Praise God. And so the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes you rich. Now, I want to share with you a few examples from my life that will be a blessing to you, that will show you and teach these things. Brother Hagin said this, that just preaching the word is good, but when you show illustrations, it's like it puts windows in the house. Illustrations allow you to see into things more. So I'm not up here trying to have story time. I'm up here trying to help you. The stories, they used to say with him, were where the nuggets were, where you'd get the good stuff. Why? People could relate to that kind of stuff. You know, anybody can stand up here and just read the Bible and say things, but illustrations, you can see into some things. And I had a few things, and we'll talk about the one after I mention this, that happened this week that are examples of this. And specifically what we're talking about today is when the Holy Ghost prompts you to do something specific. Now, you always ought to be a doer of the Word. But there's things that are going to come up that you don't have the answer for in the Bible. You're going to need it from the Holy Ghost. Like, the Bible doesn't tell you where to live, doesn't tell you what spouse to get, doesn't tell you what job to take, doesn't tell you what to invest in, what to do with your business. Now, there's general things, but there's certain things we're going to have to hear from heaven on. And so I'm going to show you some things here. And so we're talking about today specific things that the Holy Ghost will speak to you that's pertinent to your life, personal to you, that will cause you to walk into more richness. And if you'll obey these things, you will walk into things that you never could have walked in yourself. That you, God, from obeying things, it's opened doors that I just can't even... Well, I'll share a story with you. This year, I got a new bow. I've had the old one, I think, 8 or 9 years, maybe 10. I can't remember. I wanted to get a new one, and so I did. I got a new bow, and I went to this new archery shop in Panama. And it's run by some Amish folks. And man, I went there the first time I went there, and I was just amazed at how nice the shop was, how good it was, and just how excellent they were with things. And I wanted a certain kind of bow, and so that's why I went to them. And I had very high praise from other people. And so I went there, and I was just amazed at how much they took care of me. Like, I wasn't just another number. They wanted to really set me up with what I needed for and really worked with me and took time. And I was like, man, but not only that, I hit it off with the son of the owner. His name's Daniel, and I hit it off with him and just instantly recognized there's a connection between him and I. And a good friendship was kind of being birthed there, you know, and I could sense it, and I was excited about that. And so a couple of weeks went by. I was ordering, you know, different arrows and things from him, and I called one day, and Marvin, who was his nephew, answered the phone. And I said, hey, is Daniel there? And he said, no, Daniel's up at Women's and Children's Hospital with his wife and their brand new baby. And I said, man, what happened? They said, well, he's got a staph infection. It's really bad. And, you know, just compassion being a human being makes you feel bad for something like that. But when you have a child, and this is a brand new baby, and here they are not being able to enjoy that child at home, they're up in the hospital, man, my heart went out to them. My heart really went out to them big time. But I had compassion. The Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. When that compassion comes over you, there's going to be an action that goes with it. Jesus was moved with compassion. And I had just great compassion, but I was at kind of a loss. I didn't know what really I could do for him. I got in my head a little bit. I started thinking, you know, the way we are, and maybe you're not like this, and if you've ever wondered why is Pastor like this, we're very private people. If people want me to come to see them at the hospital and they're welcoming, I'd love to do it. But I don't just barge in like people have new babies and stuff. Man, the last thing we wanted to see was people. You know, people that came out and saw us, we were grateful for it, but we weren't like inviting the world out to come see us when we had a baby. Especially she wasn't. I mean, she didn't even want to see me. I mean, it was get away, right? And so we're private people, and so I didn't want to just barge in. I didn't really know them that well, and I wanted to pray for the baby, but I didn't know with their beliefs, and I further found out that they believe quite a lot like we do, which is pretty cool. And that group of Amish anyways, I don't know the whole Amish community as a whole, how they believe, but anyways. And so I didn't know what to do. I was like, I don't know if they'll let me pray for the baby, if they'd be offended, if I'd like to lay hands on the baby. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And I just didn't know what to do, and I was kind of at a loss because the way we are, I was kind of putting the way I am on maybe the way they'd be, and they wouldn't want people around. And I was at a loss, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Holy Ghost said to me, drive up to Buffalo and lay hands on that baby. Well, when he said that, I was grateful that I had some direction. But I was not only grateful, how many of you know we still have a mind and have flesh? The last thing my mind and flesh wanted to do was to get a suit on, drive all the way to Buffalo for people that I hardly know. That's my mind and flesh. My heart was excited to do it. Don't get me wrong. My mind and flesh didn't want to do that because of the inconvenience of it. It wasn't very convenient for me with how busy I am and different things. And you know, having two churches, I want the majority of my time to go to my sheep. I'm sorry, but besides my family, my sheep are the most important people in the world to me. I'm talking more than family, because you are my family. Yeah. When I'm saying more than family, I'm talking besides my immediate, you know, family that lives with me, my sheep are the most important people in the world to me. And so I was like, boy, there's so much I could be devoting, but the Holy Ghost said to do it. The Holy Ghost said, you drive there and you lay hands on that baby. So now I have a decision to make, don't I? I can be inconvenienced. I can get in my head and think I'm going to get shut down. They're going to be offended. They're never going to talk to me ever again. They're going to think I'm crazy. Or I'm going to obey God and it's going to work out. What's happening right now? I'm standing at the crosswalk with my dog. And the dog's telling me to go and I can hear the horns. And I can hear the cars going by, but the dog's telling me to go. Yeah. The Holy Ghost is telling me to go, so I did, and I went there. And man, I want to start crying when I think about it. I can't tell you when they saw my face, the look on their face that somebody drove all the way to Buffalo to see them. It was one of the most, I mean, they were saying, we are just so honored that you would come to see us. And I was like, God, you're so good. And they just could not get over the fact, now see, because again, being Amish and not having vehicles, they're not getting a ton of visitors all the way up an hour and a half, 2 hours away at the hospital. And to see me come strolling in there, they were just flooded with joy. They were so excited. And I said, you know, I said, the Bible says, his wife's name's Ruthie, I said, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I said, can I pray for your baby? Oh, absolutely. I said, can I touch him? I laid hands on him and said, in the name of Jesus, we call you healed, little guy, just from the top of your head. Little Marcus was his name. From the top of his, you know, some little babies, when they're born, they're really kind of ugly. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, some of them just aren't cute. Now, the parents always think their babies are cute, but come on, you know what I'm talking about. This baby was adorable, and it was just really freshly born. I was like, this is so nice. And so I prayed for that baby. And I had given them two of the His Goodness books that the Lord had me write. I'd given them to their shop, and I didn't know how that would go over, giving them a book and it had the Bible in it. And he said, to further the story, the Holy Ghost said to me, while I was there now, the Holy Ghost said, bless them. Bless them. So I said, okay, I'm not having you guys eat hospital food. Let's go down to the Tim Hortons cafe down here. I'm going to get you some stuff right now, but I want to get you a gift card. They're blown away. Blown away so you can have good food while you're in the hospital. And then I said, let's walk down to the drugstore. And I loaded them up with supplies for their baby. Well, the Holy Ghost told me to do it. Was it convenient financially? No. Was it something I thought of on my own? No. But I was obeying the Holy Ghost. He said, yeah. So they just couldn't believe it. And I bought, you know, they don't watch TV, so I bought them a little. They were excited that there was a card game that they play. And it just happened to be one left in a drugstore, this game, for them. We bought it for them. They were just so thrilled and excited. And as I was getting ready to leave, they said to me, or Daniel said, do you happen to have one of your books? I sure would like my wife to read it while we're in the hospital here. We don't have a lot to do here. I said, you betcha. I'll always keep them with me to give them to people. So I gave them to him. Now you're saying, what are you talking about? Well, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich. The Holy Ghost will guide you into awesome things. A dream of mine. Now this might not mean much to you, but a dream of mine has been to have a connection to the Midwest in whitetail hunting. The Midwest, for some reason, with the minerals, the crops, their deer, the genetics there are, I mean, deer that you would shoot around here that would be ones you'd put on the wall are deer that you'd never think of shooting somewhere in the Midwest, because those deer have the potential to get so big. And I've always had a dream and a desire. I've been releasing my faith. Lord, I sure would love to have a connection to the Midwest. And they have a lease in Ohio where they lease land from a landowner, a big chunk of property. And in their archery shop, on their walls, are the bucks that they've killed from this place. And it is like walking into Cabela's. I'm talking giant deer that they killed off this property. He was so moved and touched by what I did, which was just being led by the Holy Ghost. Now, I knew nothing about the whole hunting thing. There was no angle for me. I wasn't trying. Yeah, sure. Just completely following God and being a doer of what God said to do. And what they do is, because they don't drive, they have three people that take them down that are friends of theirs. And Daniel came to me, he said, literally over the years, people know that we hunt down there and they see the bucks on the wall in our shop. And he said, they know we can't drive. And basically what he was basically saying is people try to prey on that, take advantage of that, that they know they can't drive, so I'll offer to drive them. They're not really trying to do it to be a blessing, trying to get to hunt on their spots. And you have to understand those leases, I mean, they are expensive and people are so protective over them because of the money they pay and because of the deer you can kill. And so he said, there's a guy that used to go with us, one of the three, that can't go anymore. And he said, literally, we've had hundreds of offers for us to take. He said, but we don't want to just go down there because we have to go back to the house at night with people. We have to eat with them. And so we want people that are friends. He said, will you be the third person on that lease to go with me and hunt with me? I didn't have to think about that question. I told him, I don't know what to say. I said, you don't understand what this means to me. And so actually this week they invited me. I can't go even because of the Olean. I got to get Olean go. But it's just amazing that God would do that. They had me come to the archery shop. I signed a piece of paper. I am officially on a lease in Ohio with the land of giants. You say a big deal. No, it is a big deal to me. But see, that never happens. If I say, oh, Lord, I'll just call them, or I'll just wait till I come home, or Lord, you know what? I really don't want to spend all that money on diapers, and I got stuff. Followed the Holy Ghost. And it opened a door that I've been trying to open for years. You just can't. You try calling someone on one of those leases and asking them, can I join your lease, and watch them laugh at you. I mean, you just need to go there and see the deer that they kill. Woohoo! And now I'm a part of it. And I've heard him say, we're going to have years of fun together. So he said, follow the Holy Ghost. You are, most of you were in service last week. Last week was an all-timer. Isn't it amazing? God put on a show like that with our biggest crowd. You know, when Scott had come up to get hands laid on him for his back, the next morning he was going to have major back surgery. I didn't know that. God did. Major back surgery. And after the service was over, during the salvation call, the Lord said to me in my spirit, call for a healing line. Do you notice I don't lay hands on everybody every service? I've learned something. It works a lot better when you get a prompting from the Holy Ghost. No, we could do that. It wouldn't be wrong, but I like to be led. And the Lord said, have a healing line. Didn't say anything about a back problem. Just said, have a healing line. Now, if I don't obey that, it doesn't open the door into the next thing. So then we have a healing line, and then the Lord puts it on my spirit, you're not done. There's a word of knowledge. You're someone with chronic back pain. And I started naming stuff like characteristics. You're having trouble sleeping. It's all these things that are just bothering you for years. And then we had a moment like we had. That was awesome, wasn't it? Some of his family here today, I've been talking to him through text messages and stuff. We're believing for supernatural recovery and healing for him. Hallelujah. And showing the family and the kids that God is real. Showing the church that God is awesome. I didn't know anything about that, but God did. But the point was, we don't get to that point in the service if I don't obey the first prompting, was call for a healing line. And then when the Holy Ghost says, call out chronic back pain, when I just laid hands on a woman who had chronic back pain, and we're in a smaller church, my head starts telling me, there ain't nobody here with that. There ain't nobody here with that. You're going to call that out and look like a fool. But if I don't obey that, we don't have the moment that we had last week in service. And it was amazing. God said, I'm God. And you're not. I just want to prove to you that I'm God. Praise God. But it doesn't happen until we follow the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Praise God. What about financially? Anybody here like blessing? Anybody here like more? The Holy Ghost told brother, or Jesus, when Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin, say, is that biblical? Oh, absolutely. The Bible says visions and dreams. Those are scriptural and biblical. Most churches don't teach on them, so when you hear about them, you're like, huh? One of those churches? Yeah, we're one of those churches. One of those Bible churches. And if you're part of church that isn't one of those Bible churches, you ought to run for the hills as fast as you can, because you won't be blessed there. It's true. And anyways, the Holy Ghost, or Jesus said this. He said, if you'll learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich, talking about money. He said, if you'll learn to listen and follow the leadings of the Holy Ghost, well, didn't the Bible say the blessing of the Lord makes you rich? If people would learn the promptings of the Holy Ghost, They'd walk into financial things that they could have never walked into before. You say, well, is that scriptural? Well, let's look at that real quick. Go to 1 Kings 17, then I'm going to give you some examples. 1 Kings 17, you getting anything today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Holy Ghost going to speak to people. Been speaking to people. Stop being afraid of what he's telling you to do. He's got your best interest at heart. He's not leading you into something wrong. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. This is talking about Elijah, the prophet of God. And what you need to know about the prophets in the Old Testament is there was no Holy Ghost on the earth yet. The Holy Ghost didn't come, the guide, and dwell inside of people until Jesus had left after he died on the cross and went to heaven. That's why Jesus said, it's better that I go away. Because when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And people won't have to come to a central location where God is, like in Nazareth or Judea or Jerusalem. No, God's going to live in every human being that wants to accept him. That's why Jesus said, it's better that I leave you. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost had not been poured out yet. And so the prophets were the mouthpieces of God. Or the prophets were the Holy Ghost of God, the speaking of God, so to speak. In verse 8, the word of the Lord, so this is God's word, came unto Elijah saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Now notice this. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. So he arose. Don't you love that? He obeyed. He didn't say, Lord, couldn't you have given me something with a whole family and a woman that's making good income? He just said, Lord, you said it, I'll go. Yeah, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may have a drink. And she was going to fetch it. Now remember, God told him, this widow woman's going to provide for you. So he's going to obey God now. As she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. What? Sustenance, food that God said that she would provide for it. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but only a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Why? It was her last meal. Can you imagine Elijah's mind? You told me to go get provided for a woman who has one meal left. But look what Elijah said to her. He didn't say, keep it for yourself, enjoy that last meal. He said, fear not, go and do as you have said, but make me a cake first. Oh my gosh, they would just crucify him on the news. How dare you take that? How dare you take that last meal from that widow woman with her son? It was the last thing that she had. How dare you stand up in an economy and tell people to tithe and give? It's your answer. How dare you do this, Elijah? You mean preacher, you? Taken from a woman? Taken from... I've had people that come into great blessings that are struggling. I say, don't you forget to tithe on that. Don't you forget to tithe on that, because it's only going to lead you into more. Don't you hold on to that. Don't you grip that with all your might. You tithe on that because the blessing will keep going. He didn't say to her, I'll keep it for yourself, because he knew the releasing of it would bring the blessing. He says, make me a cake first and bring it to me, and after, make it for you and your son. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So here's a case where God's telling her to do something that on the surface is making her mind go berserk. One more meal for her and her baby. My goodness. And he's saying, the preacher, the godly man is saying, give it to me first. Yeah. Now she has a choice. Right. Obey the voice of God when it looks crazy and you can't figure it out naturally, or not obey the voice of God and go with her own thinking and her own reasoning. And you know what would have happened? She'd have made that last meal and she'd have done exactly what was going to happen. Die. It would have been over for her. Well, let's look at what happens. Let's see if God's a meanie. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, which was really the saying of God. And she and her house did eat many days. Wait a minute, I thought she only had one meal left. Not anymore. See, when you obey God, there's a supernatural aspect that gets applied to that situation. Supernaturally. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Praise God. She ate for many days. The meal, the cruse of oil, it didn't fail. It was always provision there. God led her to do something that seemingly looked crazy, but she did it and it opened a door that she could never open on her own. On her own, she was ready to eat her last meal and die. When God got involved, notice this though, she had to obey it. If she just said, no, I'm not doing that, God wouldn't have rained that blessing down. He couldn't have. He needed her cooperation. I'm going to say this. I'm going to make it a general statement. It's all I'm permitted to really say about it, about getting into disobedience. I know people that are financially struggling because God has told them to do something and they haven't obeyed it. Because they get fear involved. They get their own thinking involved. They go halfway with it. God's told them to do something and they don't do it and it doesn't open up to what that woman got opened up to. What if she would have said, no, we'll give you the leftovers. It wouldn't have been the same. He said, I want it first. Why? God always wants it first. But there's people that I know that today will not obey the voice of the Holy Ghost that have been specifically told to do things and they haven't done it. Now don't get thinking, oh, I didn't say this church. I said I knew people. Keep it at general. Make you think even more. Praise God. You say, well, is he talking about me? I don't know, am I? You know better than I know what God's told you to do. But I know certain specific cases where the Holy Ghost has said to do something and people failed that test. And there was such a blessing on the other side of it, but fear stopped them from doing it. Greed stopped them from doing it. Selfishness stopped them from doing it. And in their mind, it was, how can I pull that off? And God was just saying, you're leaving something so wonderful on the table. That woman would have left all that blessing on the table. Remember the other woman, the widow woman that had the sons that had to go pay off a debt? Her husband had a debt. He died. It's found in 2 Kings. He died, and the sons were going to have to go work off the debt. The mama was going to lose her baby boys. And she didn't want to do that. She only had one vessel of oil. And the prophet said to her, God said to her, go and borrow as many vessels from all your neighbors. Go do that. And then take your little bit of oil that you have and start pouring it in your vessels. And she obeyed that crazy word from the prophet. And the oil just kept coming and coming. And she filled up all those things, was able to sell that, pay off her debt, and live off that money. Seemed crazy, but she obeyed God. You know, if I'm going to preach generosity, and if I'm the head of this church, just like I preach to business owners, you ought to tithe on your business, you ought to tithe on your personal income. I'm not going to stand up here and mock God with the church's money that I'm in charge of and not be generous. This church is generous, very generous to ministers, to helping people in need, to doing different things for the gospel's sake. We're generous. And the Lord, this was a few years back now, I was in a service, a Pastor Nancy Dufresne meeting out in California. And the Holy Ghost, there was an offering I was going to give into. And the Holy Ghost I had an amount that I was going to give, that I purposed in my heart to give, and to me it was generous. And in that service, the Holy Ghost spoke, so it was almost like an audible voice, but it wasn't, it was that clear, told me, I want you to sow this amount of money from your church. Now, here's what I want to tell you about that at the time. That amount, you know, we like to give, and we like to sow seed. You know, there's parts of different branches. You know, when I climb up a tree stand, sometimes I'll use the branches as steps to help me get up higher so I don't have to screw in a step or something. You know, but where I step on that branch is close to the base of that branch. Why? Because that's where it's strong and sturdy. You get out on the end and you start bobbing and weaving, right up and down. Well, we like to give when we're on that solid branch. But this thing that God told me to do with the church's money put us so far out on the edge of the limb. I mean, I'm talking put us out on a limb to do it, but I knew I heard from heaven. Now, I had a choice at that time. Obey God, which seemingly looked like you're nuts and the church is going to struggle now, or obey Him. I obeyed God, and within a few months, listen to me, 14 times the amount that I sowed came into the church. 14 times the amount. Would that have happened had I not sowed that seed? No! Stop thinking that God's plan is just going to happen for you. It didn't happen for people in the Bible, and it's not just happening now. You have a part to play. Don't let the devil just tell you, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. No, you have a part. That's why he gave you a guide, to be guided. I can be out on a mountain with a guide and he can tell me, you know what, go over there, that's where the elk hunting is. Okay, see you later, I'm going this way. And go home elkless.
Sure.
Yeah. Not the guide's fault.
Right.
Would that have happened? No, it wouldn't have happened. 14 times the amount. Here when I gave that, I'm thinking, oh, we are out there now, Father. But that's where God lives.
Amen.
Out on the edge.
Good.
Where you have nothing to grasp anymore, where he's the only thing that's going to keep you from falling.
Good.
Weeks ago, we're almost done. Just hold on here. Be patient. Praise God. This is good stuff. Weeks ago, goes back a year, where the Lord told me to sow an offering to Pastor Nancy Dufresne. And you might say, you give money to people? And I'm going to touch on that in a second, because I'll get there in a second. He told me to sow an offering into her. And the amount that he told me absolutely rattled my brain and shook me up. Because, and don't even try to tell me that you don't think money's important. If it's not important, why do you think about it all day long? Why are you always, I mean, money is it's important. We can do a lot of good things with it. And he told me, and I was like, oh boy. Well, this was back in, would have been in January, and I didn't do it. I mean, it downright scared me, and I didn't do it. And she came back this summer to Pastor Tim's church, and the Holy Ghost said, see, some of you need to go back to the place where God told you to do something and do it.
Yeah.
Go, you need to go back there.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost said to me, what about that offering I told you to sow into her? I started to say, Lord, can you change the amount? Lord, that's too much, Father. That's too much. But I've learned something. I guess I didn't learn a lesson that well. But when God tells you to do something, usually it stretches the heck out of you. But the blessing comes. I mean, you'll get blessed for being just generous on your own, but when he tells you to do something, it stretches your faith. Woo, get ready. Get ready. Get ready.
Hallelujah.
And so I sowed it into her. 2 weeks after that, double the amount of the check that I sowed came in the mail, unexpected, from a random person. Out of the blue, doubled what I gave her. Would that have happened? It didn't happen until I did it. God trying to get... Now, I want to share something with you because I feel in my heart that it's time to share something about this. But before I share this, because this will bring great blessing to you, how many of you want to be a church that follows the Bible? You know, I'm a parent at home, and the Bible says that I'm to teach my son to honor me. The Bible says honor your parents, your mother and your father. That's the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is if kids honor their mom and their dad, the Bible says it'll be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. It's to my son and daughter's advantage to teach them to honor me. Now, in turn, when they honor me, that serves me. And that blesses me. So you can look at it one of two ways. Pastor Mike, and we're going to be smart about this, you're self-serving in teaching your kids to honor you. No, I'm not. I'm helping them to live long on the earth that it may be well with them. And I actually would like to make a public statement of repentance to this church, because for years I've withheld from talking to you about anything about this in the Bible for my own fear. And now if I do, it's going to hurt me, it's going to hurt my family. And the Holy Ghost is saying, you better start obeying me. The Lord said to me the other day, he said, are you ashamed of my word? I said, no, you know I'm not. Romans 1 verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation. I said, Lord, I told you I'd preach your word from the front to the back page. He says, you don't. He said to me, my spirit. I said, yes, I do, as far as I know. And he said, no, you don't. He said, why don't you preach on 1 Corinthians chapter 9? And that's all we're going to look at today. And he says, and he starts going, why don't you preach on this? It's in the word. Why don't you preach on this in the word? I said, Lord, because I'm afraid to say anything. He said, that's pride. That's pride. If you're not ashamed of the gospel, stand up there and preach it. Be bold in the word. So I'm going to be bold in the word today. If I don't teach it to you, who's going to? If I don't teach you how to be blessed, if I say, you know what? I don't want to be self-serving towards Caleb and Abby. I know my heart isn't to be self-serving. I've already established this with God in the back room. That's why it took me so many years to say anything. And I want to offer this opportunity for people. We have a few people, I'm looking around, that have been with us from the very beginning. We have people that have been here, from the very get-go, like the first few months. I think Alice was Jeff and Michelle, the Walkers, right from the beginning. I mean, some of you came, you know, maybe after a few months. I'm talking right from the beginning if I look around, if I missed anyone that's been here right from the get-go, I mean, almost day one, we have a few people. You can go ask them after service. You know, it'd be a waste of your time because I'm going to tell you what the answer will be. You can get on the archives and you can see, has Pastor Mike one time ever talked about this scripture? And they'll say, no, he's never preached on it, because I never have. And the Holy Ghost is starting to warn me. And I'll tell you what, I have kids. I'd rather you get offended and mad at me and me being in the blessings of God than worried about what you think. You ought to know by now, my heart, that we stick with the Bible. But you might say to yourself, Pastor, you actually bless people with money? Like, that's actually something you do? Yes, because I'm a doer of the word. Do you know that the Bible says, they that labor among you in word and doctrine, guess who that would be? Me. They that labor among you in word and doctrine are worthy of double honor. Now, not talking about respect. You look at the context, it's talking about wages. Now, we don't like that in America. We like to keep our preachers poor. Lord, we'll keep them poor, you keep them humble. It's true. People don't like to see ministers prospering and being blessed. They do things on TV about them. They talk about them behind their back. But the God's view is, the ones that are laboring in word and doctrine are worthy of double honor. Now, he said to me, if you're not ashamed of my word, why haven't you preached 1 Corinthians 9? And he said, not only are you going to be hurt by not doing it, but your people are not receiving blessings. Because I'm a doer of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I know what it brings. So let's take a look there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Praise God. You say, oh, he's just trying to be self-serving. If you think that, you probably should find a different church. If you think that about me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's just throw away what we think and what I think, and let's see what God says about the issue. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 9. This is Paul, the same Paul that told people, give, but give generously. Don't be a cheapskate, you'll get a cheapskate blessing. He wasn't afraid. We call it boldness with Paul, but when our own pastors do it, we think, oh, just trying to manipulate me. Well, let's just look at the word. We love the boldness of Paul, and we want to pray for our pastor to have boldness, so you better receive this today. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. Does God take care of the oxen? What's he saying? The one doing the work, treading out the corn, they ought to be able to eat from that. They ought to be able to eat from that blessing. Go on to verse 10. He says, or saith he altogether, for our sakes. For our sakes, no doubt, he's saying this for, it's written, that he that plows should plow in hope. What? He that's doing the plow should get blessing from that plow. And yes, they should. Oh, we're getting there. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. Now look at what Paul says in verse 11. Someday we'll probably preach a whole message on this now that it's got the cat's out of the bag, so I can show you how much is in the Bible on this. And I've said nothing in 4 years. Right. I've been afraid to, but I've settled it with God. I know my motives. Amen. I'm tired of seeing you go without, and I don't want my family in jeopardy. Amen. Look at what Paul says. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, what's he talk about? The word. So on to them spiritual things. He says, is it a great thing? He's being sarcastic. If we shall reap your carnal things or your material things, he's saying, I have labored and sown unto you things that have saved your life, that have changed your family, that changed your children, changed your body, changed your mind, changed your outcome, changed your destination. He says, I have given you such great things. Is it really a great thing if I partake of what your material things are? It doesn't even compare. We, though, however, praise God, we, however, look at it as, well, the pastor's just another guy. Because all you see on Sunday morning is me getting up here for an hour and a half and teaching you the word. See, when a shepherd feeds the sheep, all the sheep see is the handout. Doesn't see the shepherd waking up early. Doesn't she, the shepherd, thinking and taking care of the sheep and doing different things with fencing and doing different things with land and making deals to have more land? They don't see all the things behind the scene that keeps those sheep safe. People will have no idea till they get to to heaven what their pastor has done for them to save them from trials. Lord will wake me up in the middle of the night, put somebody's face on my heart, and I'll start praying for that person. And then I'll get a peace in my heart and the whole situation will be gone. Of the situation avoided. Why? They had a shepherd. A covering. And Paul's saying, he's saying, are you kidding me? What am I trying to say to you? There's much in the Bible. Now, I want to be careful how I say this, because I'd never preach anything I'm not a doer of. So not only do I offer you to talk to the Walkers, talk to Jeff and Michelle, talk to Grandma Alice here, and ask them, does he talk about this a lot? They'll say he's never shared it one time from the pulpit. Never have. Never shared it one time from the pulpit. But if you don't honor your supply, if you don't honor the person delivering you what God is going to give you, I'm just here to tell you, you won't get a full blessing. That's hard for me to say this right now, just so you know, naturally. And I'll tell you this. Here's the other offer that I'll give you. Does pastor do this? I'm a sheep just like you. I'm not a sheep to you, but I'm a sheep to my pastor. I offer you the opportunity to get on Family Church of Fredonia's website and Pastor Michael Laketic and email him and ask him, does Pastor Mike honor you? Does he honor you financially? Does he? And I guarantee you, my pastor would say, you wouldn't even believe what Pastor Mike does for you. You want to know why? Because every time I'm with him, he'll slap me on the back or hit me on the leg. Boy, you sure take good care of me. Boy, you're sure honorable to me. Every time we meet a new minister that I've never met before, he'll say, this is Pastor Mike. He's one of my sons who's so honorable to me. Why? He saved my stinking life. I would not have Caleb and Abby without that man. There are two people. Dr. Dufresne would have been three, but he's in heaven. Two people on planet Earth that are responsible for me having churches and for me having the children I do. It's Pastor Nancy Dufresne and Pastor Michael Laketic. It wasn't God that did something. It was God through them. But God needed people. I'll tell you what. You better believe I'm going to bless them. You better believe I'm going to take care of him. Why? I owe my life to that man. I owe my life to that woman. Every time I see my kid, she comes into town, I have to do something for her as a show of gratitude. Why? Where your treasure is, your heart is. I know this is not popular. And maybe next week we'll have to preach a sermon to show you that there's so much in the Bible about this. Look what the woman did in 1 Kings. She honored the man of God and got so many blessings. Paul took up an offering in Philippians 4 and he said, this is important. Don't brush me off of this. This will be a blessing to you. Paul said this in Philippians 4. He said about an offering that was going to be taken up. He said, not that I desire the gift. And I'm telling you, I don't desire your gifts and your honor. I don't desire it for myself. He said, I desire the fruit that will abound to your account for doing this for me. I know how this works. And I'm going to publicly say it from the pulpit right now. The greatest harvest I've ever gotten in my life have been sown into my man and woman of God or into my local church. By far the greatest return that I've ever got. Doesn't even come close. Doesn't even come close. Why? I know they're good ground. So, you're just trying to get us to get... No, I'll never ask you for money. I'll never expect anything. Be grateful for everything. But I have to show you this in the Word. You say, well, is it really an important thing to God? Well, let me tell you what happened in Fredonia a few years ago. Dr. Dufresne, who stood at the forefront of the prophetic ministry, got up in front of the church and said to the church, the Holy Ghost saith that if you don't start taking care of this man... Now, talking about Pastor Michael, I'm showing you this to show you how important it is to God. See, at the time, the church was not paying him anything at all. He's doing two churches. He's hardly getting any money. People in the church weren't honoring him. He was just Mike Laketic to them, just good old Mike, and just good old boy Mikey, and, you know, just being very dishonorable to him. And the Holy Ghost, now, he would never say anything about it. He never would correct people and, you know, pay any more. No way. He kept his mouth shut and was faithful. And the Holy Ghost said, if you don't start taking care of him, I'm going to remove him from this church and put him somewhere where people will appreciate him. Now, I'm not saying God said that about this place. And I'm not saying we're even close to being there. I'm just showing you, is it important to God? You better believe it is. Amen. The Holy Ghost through the prophet. Dr. Frayne didn't know anything about that. Pastor Michael didn't tell him. But it was absolutely the truth. I knew about it. Not paying him hardly anything. All that he's doing, everything that he's doing, people not appreciate him. And he said, I'm going to remove him. Why? Because there's much to say in the Bible about honor. Amen. And I'll just tell you this. The church has lacked in honor at times. And I don't just mean financially, because I haven't taught it. And that's why I repent to you today. I've not said a thing about honor, because honor can come off as being self-serving. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, a complete saving in your life. When I heard about this in the Bible, I said, wow, I need to pick up the slack here. And we started partaking of it, and we don't look back. My goodness, we are so, so blessed. You say, oh, your ministers just brainwashed you into doing that. I'll take it. If this is the result of being brainwashed, having healthy children, having a blessed life, having a solid mind, if that's the result of me being brainwashed, sign me up. Amen. Brainwash me. Good. I'm in. Good, now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to warn you by the Holy Ghost right now. The devil's going to work on you about this. But you need to go back to the Word. You need to go back to the Word and look at this. That Paul himself said, I've sown unto you spiritual things. It's not a big deal if you sow unto me your carnal things. He said that. Yeah. I didn't say it. Paul did. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yep. And so I sowed into my lady of God, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and got a double return.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. I can't wait for it to come back. I have a meeting with my pastor every month. I encourage you to email him and ask him. He'll tell you the truth. I'm a doer of this word. I'm not standing up here on a pedestal, not preaching something that I don't do.
Right.
I meet with him every month. I just can't wait to get him and just bless him.
Amen.
Every time I see her come into town, just bless her. Why? Yeah. She's sown into me things that have changed my life. It's not a big deal for me to sow into her carnal things.
Amen.
Just truth. Obeyed God. Praise God. And I'm going to close with this. I know we went a little long, but I had... Yesterday in the tree stand, the Lord said, it's time. And I knew it was coming. I actually might preach a whole series on honor. But for 4 years, I've let it go and haven't said a word. And the Lord keeps saying to me, they're not going to reap the harvest that's there for them unless they're taught. You can't reap a harvest without seed sown. Well, I just sowed a seed today to help you reap a harvest. Now, the devil will work on you and tell you he's so self-serving. Go back to the Word. Don't let him do that to you. Don't let him do that to you. I showed you everything that was in the Word. And then, of course, I want to close with this. There's times when I missed it. I'm going to close my Bible and tell you this story. It was the last time Pastor Nancy Dufresne was in town. Again, we're talking about following the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Because God's going to prompt you to do certain things. I don't just mean towards your man or woman of God. And some people don't even go to this church. It might be at the church that you're in. Or he'll prompt you to do an offering to the church. Or he'll prompt you to give to somebody outside the church or a family member. You want to obey those things. You want to obey those things. Well, I was in a service with Pastor Nancy, and it was one of those services where it was off the hook. Just awesome. And she's up front pacing back and forth after the service. And the Holy Ghost says to me, she's just walking back and forth, praise God. Praise God, she's saying, praise God. And the people are praising God. And the Holy Ghost says to me, Pastor Mike, get up and dance right now. Say, what? That's what he said. Get up and dance right now. I don't know what it would have looked like. I don't know what I would have done, but I know I heard from heaven, and it got confirmed. And I got such into my head about it. The Holy Ghost said, get up and dance, and my head was saying, do you know what you're going to look like? Do you know how distracting that's going to be? How many know there's times that we ought to not bring attention to ourselves? But if the Holy Ghost is telling you to do it, see, God was looking for a lightning rod.
That's right.
He was looking for a lightning rod to start something off. And I sat there, and I knew I was to get up and dance in front of that church of 300-400 people. And I didn't do it. And she said, she walked around and she finally said after a few minutes, she said, back there would have been a good time for somebody in this church to have done something. She was waiting for somebody. You know what she was waiting for? Me. I didn't obey God in the service. So then when she said that, people started doing stuff, but not to the measure that it would have been. I hindered a service with Pastor Nancy Dufresne because I didn't obey the Holy Ghost. Just trying to tell you. God's not trying to make me look like a fool. I'm the last person that wants to dance ever. When I get my big buck, there'll be some dancing. Don't worry about that. But I'm the last person that wants to get up in front of the church and dance. I had the Holy Ghost tell me take off running before, and it just set off a firestorm in the church. Last thing I want to do is that in front of people. I like to hide and be by myself. But I missed it. And she said, now back there would have been a good time for somebody to have done something. Done what? Respond to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So he's trying to lead you into things. Things that will make your mind go crazy. But remember, God's only leading you into good things. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We bless your name. Oh, Father, thank you so much for your goodness. You're just trying to help us, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to that leading. Yes, Lord. Remember, God leads by peace. When you get something, you can look up here real quick. This is a prompt to me. You got to tell him how to do it. When God tells you to do something, it'll seem good to you. It'll be something that doesn't leave you, but seems so good to you that you got to do it. You just got to do it. You have a green light. You have that warm, ushy-gushy feeling inside you. Your mind might not, and your flesh might not, but on the inside, that peace, that's how he'll lead you. When he tells you to do something, it seems good, and you can't get away from it, that's when you know it's God. Okay? Praise God. Father, thank you for that peace, that leading. Lord, help them to see my heart here today, not with just the honor part of the message, Lord, but everything, Lord, that I want them so blessed. I want them to obey you and to walk into the things that you have for them and to experience all these wonderful blessings and promises. And Lord, I was obedient to you today. And so Father, I thank you for the blessings that will come to me and my family for doing so. But Father, I thank you for the blessings that will come to these precious, precious people. Father, that will obey your word and hear your word and be doers of the word. We'll see that it's in the Bible. They'll see that their pastor struggled with this, that for years he held off on sharing something in the Bible because he didn't want to look a certain way. But Lord, I love them too much to hold it back from them anymore. So bless them, Lord. Bless them big time, Father. Lord, they're so faithful. They love you so much. They're so special to myself and my wife and just my family as a whole. Lord, we just love them. So thankful for them. Bless them, Father. And Lord, we just worship you today. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. We're going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. What's that mean? You get to go to heaven. You get to make God your Father on this earth. And He'll bless you with all these wonderful things. You say, well, I've been going to church my whole life. That don't get you into heaven. Well, I've been a good person. That don't get you into heaven. Well, I've been a bad person. I don't think God could accept me. Your bad things can't keep you out of heaven. The measuring stick is Jesus. What you do with Jesus determines whether you go to heaven. The Bible says, he that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not he that has perfect church attendance. Not he that's gone to church. Not he that's been baptized, that's had water sprinkled on their head. He that's lived a good life. No, he that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you're here today, and you can say, I've never made that commitment. I don't know if I'd go to heaven today, if today were the last day on planet Earth. Ask yourself that. Where would I go? If your answer isn't heaven, get excited because you can have heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to have you come up front. You're not going to have to stand up. You're not going to have to say anything on your own. Nobody's looking around. But if you want to receive Jesus in this place, knowing that you're going to heaven, doing it the Bible's way, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus? I see those hands. You can put them down. I see those hands. You can put them down. Thank you for your boldness. See, we're not trying to embarrass anybody. We just want people to know, what does the Bible say about salvation? You don't have to jump through a million religious hoops to get Him to love you. He loves you just as much as He's ever going to love you. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the ease of salvation. Now, the only thing you're required to do if you raise your hand, the Bible says, is to call on His name. But take heart, you're not going to have to call on His name by yourself. We're going to all pray with you. But when I pray this prayer, you repeat it after me with the whole church. But mean it with all your heart. Don't just say the words. Because if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, if you believe in that, the Bible says you're a candidate. You're qualified for salvation. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, those that raised your hand, along with everybody in the church, let's call on to Him. Let's call on His name and let's be saved. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
I believe you rose again from the dead.
I believe you rose again from the dead.
And I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. I'm sorry we went so long, but I had to get that off me, and now I can just walk in the blessings of God. But be doers of the word. He loves you, and follow the Holy Ghost. He'll guide you into good things. Don't forget, no Wednesday service this week. Next time is November 19th. Have an awesome rest of the weekend, and we'll see you next Sunday. Or Saturday night if you come to Olean, 6 o'clock.